Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, an ecstatic Ian Morris.
Ecstatic because we're recording this later than we usually do. Normally we have a 2:30 start time on Sundays, but because I went to look at a new doggy, we started 3 hours late. So apologies.
How much was that doggy in the window?
Well, he wasn't in the window, he was in the doorway, and he is currently free.
Ah.
So maybe no such thing as a free lunch, but there is such thing as a free dog, potentially.
That's good. Well, I mean, it won't be free because they do eat a lot, including
John,
your stuff.
John, who I also believe eats a lot and is one of our patrons, says in our live chat that I'm enunciating the word podcast more and more weirdly every week.
You can't tell our podcast patrons that they eat a lot.
These are
our most dedicated and loyal listeners, Nate.
I reckon he eats at least more than once a day. Like, what else do you do more
than
once a day?
Well, I know
I do. I would describe that as something that one does a lot of. Anyway, we're still doing the show. We almost didn't, but then we did because we love doing the podcast and we love our listeners. We're going to start by talking about something that we've briefly touched on before, much like when...
And will impact the show next week.
Well, good point. It will, because this time next week, that is to say...
Well, not this time.
No, next Sunday afternoon when we normally record the show... We record live, and during our live recording, 90%, there and thereabouts, of the UK's smartphones will simultaneously be subjected to a test of the government's new emergency warning system. It's going to happen at 3 p.m. on Sunday. It will impact pretty much anyone with a smartphone. It cannot be silenced. It will vibrate, and you will have to acknowledge it to stop it. Don't be alarmed. In fact, that wasn't a pun. I mean, it was, but it wasn't a deliberate one, because there's no actual, you know, national looming imminent threat to life, or at least not one that we're being alerted to, although that is the reason the system is being tested, you know, like a nice, comforting new way to induce national panic and confusion for things like bad weather and flash floods, wildfires, that kind of thing. That's sort of why this system is being created and why it is being tested. But it also, of course, could be, although hopefully never will be used, for terror incidents, civil defense emergencies, things like that. If Britain was under attack, according to the BBC anyway. Now, the Cabinet Office released a screenshot of what the message will say, which is as follows. This is a test of emergency alerts, a new UK government service that will warn you if there's a life-threatening emergency nearby. In a real emergency, follow the instructions in the alert to keep yourself and others safe. Visit gov.uk/alerts for more information. This is a test. You do not need to take any action. That's kind of disingenuous. You do have to take some action. You have to press the go away button. So we're going to have an alarm on our phones next Sunday.
Now,
we're going to
mate,
be able
do
to
you
react
know?
To it. React to it live, please. Can I finish?
You
okay,
may.
I finished.
Oh, would it? Is it? So, is this the one that you can't silence? Because there are three, aren't there? There are two this... of increasing severity. One can't be stopped, and two you can turn off in your phone settings.
That's right. This one you cannot disable.
Right, brilliant. Well, that's great news. Thank you.
As far as I'm aware. And now John in our live chat is saying that there is an option to silence this one. Now,
good.
That may be the case, but let's be honest, the vast majority of people who hear this on Sunday are going to hear it.
Probably, yes.
And this is a system, so it may be that there is the, you know, highest priority ones that everyone is going to get, and those are going to get through to you. Anyway, so we're going to react to this live next week, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's a very
maybe
nerdy.
Have to turn them back on just in case.
Yeah. John says, I think they're considering people in abusive relationships who have a secret phone. That is extremely
I heard them talk about this on the radio, actually. Yes, it's a really big, it's a really big point, because if you've got a secret phone that you use to communicate with people, it won't be a very big secret, will it, if it's blaring a noise?
Yeah. Really, it'd be a good on. It'd be a good Bond storyline, wouldn't it? You know,
would it?
Bond, James Bond. Yeah, James Bond sort of abseiling down the side of a quiet building. I don't know how to do that quietly. And then he's, you know, his alert goes off to say, this is a test of an emergency system.
I mean,
system.
Presumably you can turn your phone off.
Well, yeah, you can do that.
No one ever does that, obviously. Like, that would be like cutting off all of your limbs.
Luke reminded us, we actually have a screenshot of this in our show notes as well, but Luke did post a screenshot that it's a throwback to a small mishap with such a system in 2018. And we do indeed have a screenshot of what happened. This was in the US, which has a very similar system, as do other countries like Japan, and we'll come to that, where at one moment, an emergency alert flashed up. This was on an iPhone, and it says, big letters, all caps, emergency alerts. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Right? That went out. Phones in Hawaii got this. And then 38 minutes later, according to this screenshot, in lower caps, lowercase this time, there is no missile threat of danger to the state of Hawaii. Repeat, false alarm. So that's good. Now, I've been in Japan, they've had a lot of these, and in our listeners are way ahead of us on this one, because I just saw Charlotte's just typed about Japan. And Japan has one of these systems that is commonly used for things like earthquakes and tsunami warnings. Obviously, that country has quite a history, sadly, with such incidents. And so those are systems that, again, go off. But they have it. I think it's called something like J-Alert, and it's not limited to phones. Charlotte, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it also flashes up on TVs and radio and things like that. Like, it's it's really quite...
pervasive.
Yeah, if it's the one I've seen. She says yes, TVs, etc.
That's interesting. So, I never saw one of those. I wasn't in Japan for very long, because apparently they have an earthquake pretty much every 2 weeks, don't they?
Depending on the severity, they have earthquakes every day, but I think ones that require warnings, I think, yeah. Loudspeakers in towns, she says as well. So we're sitting somewhere in the middle of this. You know, we do not have the loudspeakers in towns, TV alerts being taken over that Japan has, but it is a step up from what we used, say, during the COVID pandemic, where the government basically just sent a text to everyone saying, I can't remember the exact words, but it was along the lines of, there is a deadly virus, there's no treatment, stay indoors. So... a step forwards, Morris, would you say?
No, I hate it. I think it's stupid.
But what if you were about to be hit by a missile? Wouldn't you prefer to have a heads up?
What can I do about it if I'm about to be hit by a missile?
Well, you can run away.
Well, can I, though, really? Can I run meaningfully far away from a missile?
Yes. I mean, it depends
minutes, yes, I could probably get a little bit away in 20 minutes. My parents always used to say, you know, if there's a nuclear bomb, just, you know, drive towards the centre of it as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to sort of be stuck in the bit around the edges. The thing is, I don't know, because everyone else does this, it's hard to argue that, you know, it doesn't have a place, because, you know, lots of countries do it. But could these not be sort of things that people sign up for? For example, I don't want to see, you know, us being alerted to things constantly. I'm not interested.
I don't want to be
bothered constantly by the government.
I know what you mean, and I'm with you in spirit, because I have the vast majority of my notifications on my phone disabled because I don't find them useful. However, there is a difference between somebody in PR chasing a reply to an email and the government telling you that a bomb is incoming. Where's the safe place?
How is that safe? You don't have a bomb shelter, do you?
No, but I have enough tins of beans in our garage, I think, from the pandemic still to last for at least until, you know, we start worrying about the infections.
Yes. And I mean, I get that. But also, we've seen how it gets abused.
Well, we've seen how it breaks because humans are still a factor.
Yeah, I know, but also it becomes, it's the same as weather alerts. Like, it's we always seem to be on some sort of weather alert these days. It was a bit blowy out the other day, and there was a weather alert. It comes to the point where it isn't used correctly, therefore it ceases to have any meaning. Now, for example, I'm already subscribed. Oh, Charlotte's just mentioned this in the chat. Yeah, I don't have an app so much for flooding. There is an environment agency service which I think they sort of auto-subscribe you to. I don't know where I got my phone number from, but they sort of auto-subscribe you to it. Basically, they send you a text message because I do live in a mildly flood risk area. So they'll send me a text message if there's a risk. Now, that seems to me to be quite a good way of handling it. Like, I do feel like you're going to end up like with messages for things that are not really related to where you are. You know, if there's a nuclear strike on London, are they going to tell me about it? Well, I mean, I live close enough to London for it to be a problem for me. But am I going to be able to do anything about it? Not really. I could stay indoors and keep my windows and doors shut. But
remain indoors. I want to mention a couple of things that came in on our live chat while we've been talking here, because Kate raises a couple of good questions or points. Surely if there's flooding or fire predicted, you'd want to be alerted so you could gather some things and leave. And she follows up, there was a fire in a field behind my friend's house. They had police knocking on everyone's doors telling them to leave their houses. Surely a phone alert would help in a situation
yes,
like that.
Yes, but how do you do a phone alert like that? How do you manage that so precisely that it only alerts the people who need to be moved? Like, I agree. Yes, it's a better solution than knocking on the doors. But the phones, there's no way to tell how that system works. This system is not based on phone numbers
and it's not tied to your personal information, but it will be tied to your location.
Yes, but it's not tied to your location in such a way as that would be narrow enough to help in a situation like that. I get the point. Yes, that perhaps is an example that maybe wouldn't work, but yes, if there was a flood, then it could alert all the people in the area, you know. But again, you know, what am I going to do about it? What can I do? Don't have any sandbags. But
take some swimming lessons quickly. Luke says, remember that fire about 2 months back that started just before the podcast? They used the Netherlands alert emergency message to give a very directed alert. I got one to close windows and ventilations since the smoke was toxic. So I think...
maybe they can then. I don't know. Yeah. They don't tell us anything about it. All we know is that we're going to have an alert that's going to inconvenience us in the middle of our very important podcast recording that is more important than, you know, immediate death from nuclear missiles.
I agree. They picked the time of day so that it didn't coincide with the London Marathon.
Oh, great.
So if you're going to do that, you might as well skip over our podcast as well. What a bunch of... Anyway, let us know what you think. Bear in mind, if you would like to join us live next week when we record the podcast, I mean, this is a new level of nerdy even for us. But if you would like to join us live when we all get in the UK our emergency broadcast signal going off at 3 p.m., because it will be right in the middle of our taping, then join us patreon.com/UK Tech, become a patron, come and join our live Discord. Any patron who is already able to listen live can tune in. It will be a lot of fun, I think. But regardless, let us know how you feel and tell us how the experience was for you, of course, if you're in another country and have had one of these. hello@UKTechShow.com.
Hello, it's me, Devon and Cornwall Police. Nate are apparently awash with cash. I don't know what I was doing. I just panicked.
I liked it, though.
That sting ends so abruptly, and I always know it's going to end abruptly, but I'm never quite sure when. Anyway, Devon and Cornwall Police, Nate, are apparently awash with cash, so much so they're going to use drones to detect bad driving. Look, I'm in a bad mood today. There's no two ways around this, because I was annoyed by the last story and I'm annoyed by this story. These drones will detect bad driving, and they're flying electronic cops who are apparently able to spot dangerous driving from the air, as well as record incidents, check MOT, tax, and insurance statuses of both car and driver, depending
can
on
I just
which
check,
one.
Yeah. Can I just check in here?
Yes.
So this is drones flying over roads, spotting bad driving.
Stationary drones, I'm led to believe.
Right.
So the drone will be placed in a location that's dangerous, apparently. Not one with any trees over the top of it, though, because obviously that wouldn't work. And so they'll sort of monitor activity. They're starting off apparently with motorcyclists, because apparently motorcyclists are likely to have accidents. Yeah. I mean, that's in news to no one when you've only got two wheels instead of four and nothing surrounding you. Yes. They also go very quickly. Anyway, there seems to be a general feeling in this country that the best approach for anything motoring related is to stick a camera somewhere. Number plate recognition, drones now, average speed cameras, that stupid junction in Bank, London, outside your office, Nate.
Yeah. They're rebuilding it at the moment, and it's annoying me.
Well, I would like them to rebuild it, because the argument about that camera, and in fact it was Bloomberg that did a Freedom of Information request to discover the amount, it made £15 million in 3 years, that camera, because the signing isn't very good and people just don't know. And it's timed, so it's like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m, you can't drive across it. Now, I have no problem with that. None at all. If you want to have a cycle-only road and a bus-only road, no problems. But just, can you make it clear to people? Because 15 million quid is not the amount of money that comes from people who are just flouting the rules because they can afford it. That is an amount of money that can only come from people not understanding. And, you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah. That's not necessarily relevant. But quite apart from anything else, I'm just annoyed by the amount of tracking and surveillance that motorists seem to undergo. It's quite staggering, frankly. Would we accept it for any other aspect of our lives? Perhaps we do and we don't realise it. But anyway, I've had enough of it. The endless money for tech to track motorists while our roads fall apart, riddled with potholes, staggers me. Nate, you don't drive. No. So as you can imagine, I'm keen to hear your take on this.
I don't drive, but I am driven a lot.
Yes, I bet you've noticed the potholes, haven't you, as you're trying to type a script driving home?
I tell you something, mate. What is with all the potholes at the moment?
Well, we had a snap of cold, didn't we? And that what happens is water gets into the road surface. It gets very cold. It freezes and it breaks apart the structure. And then cars drive over it and they rip it out. Also, everyone seems to have bought an SUV, which are heavier than most cars. So they're not doing any favours to the road surface either. Yes, there are a lot of potholes, and councils just seemingly can't be bothered.
I'm not kidding. I have never seen so many potholes in so many places. As you say, I don't drive.
I was driving in Farnham the other day, right? And I'm not joking. There was a. It wasn't a pothole so much as it was an entire canyon in the road. It was literally from. It was across one carriageway. It was almost like someone had dug a hole in the road and not put up a roadwork sign. But it was this absolutely tremendous trench that you could drive through if you did it extremely slowly. Fortunately, I saw it, because if I hadn't, I'd have just gone through it at the speed limit, say, you know, 20, 30 miles an hour, whatever it was, and I would have been in for a shock and new shock absorbers, because those are things on cars, in case you didn't understand.
Oh, that's good. Is that the thing that the wheels are on?
Yeah.
Clever. John says, potholes are awful here too. I don't know where John lives. Where do you live, John? It's not far from London, or is it London? Anyway, that's kind of irrelevant. Terrified of trashing my bike on them. They affect cyclists too. My mate crashed his front wheel, as you can't see them in the rain.
It's worse for cyclists, because in a car, you might do 300, 400 quid's worth of damage. On a bike, you're going to go over the handlebars and do face damage.
And now you're talking about bikes. Now you're speaking my language. I've decided this is an even bigger problem than I first thought. But back to
it's also not the point, is it? We were talking about drones. There is a point here. There never seems to be a shortage of money for stupid technology for the police. Yeah. But there is a shortage of money for actually doing policing. I'll give you an example.
Go on.
Why don't you have police out in police cars? cars, because here's what happened to me 20 years ago. I was driving to my job at the BBC in London, and I undertook a police van on just as we were coming up to a pedestrian crossing, which is illegal. Now, of course, I was tired. It was morning. I made a mistake. They pulled me over. They said, hey, why do you think we pulled you over? And I was like, going too quick or something? And they went, no, you undertook us at a crossing. You can't do that because you can't see if there's someone coming. I was like, oh, right, okay. They said, don't do it again. On your way. Everyone learned something from that interaction, didn't they? But instead, we've decided that we're going to put drones in the air, which can't teach anyone anything and can only serve to do more stupid checking on MOTs and insurance and jazz like that. I mean, not that I'm against that, because everyone should have MOT tax and insurance, and people who don't should be taken off the road. But anyway,
here's my devil's advocacy.
Yeah, cool.
I don't have a. I mean, I don't like them. I don't like
cameras
in general. However, my frustration with this wouldn't be specifically that they exist, because we wouldn't be having this conversation if it was just another camera, a static camera. We are having the conversation because...
Well, I would be having a conversation, probably not on the show, because I'd be having it with myself, shouting in my car.
Right. So it's specifically because they're a drone. And the thing that differentiates a drone camera from a static camera is that drones are free to move. So my worry would, and we don't have any evidence of this, but my worry would be that the drones would follow a vehicle or follow a driver for some other reason. And that's the bit that would concern me, because you cannot really do that with a static camera once you move out the confines of just a zoom lens. So and they can be moved, and a camera that is moved into a position where there seems to be a larger build-up of accidents or bad overtaking, you know, you look at the ring road around London, that is like the wanker's hideout, frankly, and it's not even hiding. Those car people who drive, some of the worst drivers in the world are on the A6 up in Buxton going over to Macclesfield on the Cattenfield Road. And the others are on the ring
now, when
road
you say
London.
Bad drivers, what are we talking here?
It's often people in BMWs driving incredibly quickly
it's
to things they don't need to rush to.
It's always people in BMWs. You know. I say that as a former BMW driver.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, sure, speed is not good, right?
So, to finish the point, it's not about the speed. It's about if there are areas where there are repeatedly accidents taking place of some kind because of poor driving, then does it not make sense to have a camera that you can move to that location and away, therefore, from another location to better serve that area?
Yes.
In principle.
But let me just say that I think that this is not... I don't know what's wrong with me today, right? Because it appears that I've gone off technology. This does not feel to me like it needs a technological solution. It feels like it needs police to go and be in places where there are accidents. Because you're going to need police anyway, because someone's got to operate the thing. And then their point in the story, which comes from londonworld.com, not a site I was familiar with, but the point is that they then said they're going to mobilise police to go and get people as a result of this. So basically, the drone will see you do something, possibly speeding, and then the police will come and intercept you or something. Now, obviously, you know, there are lots of people in the world who like go to motorcycle clubs and then they go for a nice spirited drive in the country and they're not really hurting anyone, perhaps themselves maybe, but they're, you know, they're out and they're having some fun and they're enjoying themselves. This is the kind of thing that they're targeting, I feel.
Mm. You're probably right.
I mean, what are you supposed to do if you want to go and drive quickly? Where are you supposed to go? I mean, I know the public roads are probably not the place for it, but if it's a quiet road in the country when there's not very many people around and you want to put the hammer down, I mean, you know, there's nowhere else to go.
There are private racetracks.
Well, you can't just have a private racetrack, can you?
Well, you can't have
lots of things.
I mean,
it costs like tens of thousands of pounds to hire a racetrack.
No, you can
pay to go to... We should have a Nürburgring. That's what we need. We need the Nürburgring in the UK. But
I'm pretty sure you can pay to go to places where you can put your foot down.
You can.
If you go speeding through the countryside, I mean, it might be what you see on the front of a Saga magazine that's sort of promoting the benefits of a nice, well-funded retirement. But realistically, you're going to hit a deer... or you're going to crash into a pair of newlyweds.
And that's just incredible. Newlyweds out on the road.
It's going to ruin your day. Have you seen newlyweds these days? They're all over the place, mate. All over the place. It's like
true. It's like a scourge.
It's
John in the chat said private roads in the country are my cycling commute, and I gamble with my life every day. John, you know what? I've been thinking about this so often recently. In that, I don't know why we're not building roads just for cyclists. Frankly, I don't know why we're not like either shutting existing roads and making them the cycleways. I'll give you an example. In Surbiton, they put, at massive expense, put down a cycle lane up the main road, but then they managed to put, then they did a traffic thing, so they blocked off a road so cars can't rat run. So the main road has like a cycle lane, and then they blocked off the side road so you couldn't drive up it as an alternative. But all the cyclists should be surely on that nice quiet side road now. Why are they not directing people away from the main roads as cyclists and giving them a nice safe route? I don't understand.
We have the National Cycle Network.
We do, and some bits of it are very good, but I don't think a little white line on the side of the road is really sufficient. I think cyclists and pedestrians and sort, you know, maybe not pedestrians, but you know, it's why not have a better way of doing it? Anyway, I get the point. It's It's everyone has to share the roads, and I'm not defending outrageous speed, but at the same time, I'm also annoyed by the fact that you can't do anything anymore without someone putting a drone in the air to watch you. I mean, that's not true. This is like one example of a thing, but you know, if we let them do this, then they'll just keep doing it, won't they? And there'll be drones everywhere watching everything all the time.
Yeah. Well, we've droned on enough about this.
Brilliant.
And I'm aware that, you know, based on Ian's level of anger, it is highly likely that, you know, he's discovered...
Oh, I don't care. What's the point? It's no fun going for a drive anymore anyway. There's nowhere to go, nothing to do. There are potholes everywhere. You can't drive quickly. But you can't even drive at the speed limit. People are just doing 20 under the whole time. It's just, you might as well not bother. It's a chore.
Mate, you should have been on the M11 earlier, because people there drive at a minimum of 80 miles an hour.
Sounds sensible to me. I mean, 80 miles an hour on a motorway, I think, is fine. I don't have a problem with it. Could be 90. You know, I mean, obviously, there are reaction differences, and people don't pay any attention. I've watched some people today driving as if they weren't even looking at the road. There was a Volvo SUV swerving all over the place. I was like, what are you doing in there, mate?
Well, are you a newlywed couple? Have you recently been hit by a Jaguar driven by Ian in Cornwall?
I'm very considerate.
Yeah. Let us know any thoughts you have on this, of course. Send them to us. hello@uktechshow.com. Just had a pop-up reminder on my screen.
It says,
Kate added vintage cheese to shopping. Now, I'm pretty sure that Kate added vintage cheese to our shared shopping list about a week ago. I'm pretty sure I bought some on Friday. Why this reminder has just popped up is beyond me. But
where's
safe
that
to
reminder
say,
come from?
Well, we have a shared shopping list. We tell Siri the things we need throughout the week. And then when we put the Ocado order in, I just look at the shopping list and add it. But I spotted that Kate had added that as I was walking past a Waitrose. That's pointless. Point is, I don't know why it just popped up, but I thought I'd tell you. Because it's a podcast.
No, I mean, I wasn't disinterested in it.
Well, also not disinterested in anything is John. John wrote in and he says, "Hi, Nathan Ian. Your discussion on this week's show about the book depository reminded me of the UK's early answer to Amazon, the Internet Bookshop." Good title. "The Internet Bookshop got a lot of press in the late 90s as it seemed to be setting itself up as a UK-based competitor to Amazon, which was still US only at that point. Unfortunately, it was another competitor that was its downfall. W.H. Smith bought the Internet Bookshop and promptly shut it down as it didn't want to be an online competitor to its high street stores. So, rather bizarrely, W.H. Smith's could have been the biggest competitor to Amazon if it had had any form of foresight."
Another one of W.H. Smith's many brilliant business decisions over
the years.
"Could
sell books online, but instead just try and sell everyone Haribo at the checkout. More business decisions."
Would you like
week.
A free copy of the Telegraph with that bottle of water? No, I wouldn't. I won't. I don't want it for free at all.
No, you get a bottle of water, but you also get the Telegraph.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with the Telegraph. Some good writers there. However, I'm even more grateful to John. So thanks, John, for that message.
Yeah, thanks for writing in. Appreciate it. We don't read every email out, do we? But we do read them all.
Not every single one. I mean, we get quite a few. We have some people who write in every week and tell us what
they
think.
Yes, that's true. And I don't believe I have access to that mailbox directly, but you do send me the ones that you feel I should see.
I send you the ones that I feel we're going to use on the show. But we, as Ian says, we do read them all. We also listen every week to Tom Merritt, and Tom Merritt's got something to say. He does Daily Tech News Show, and he sent us this.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, why we don't need apps for our smartwatches, how to find a good VPN, why the renaming of HBO Max to Max actually kind of makes sense, the good and bad of the new NVIDIA RTX 4070 card, and how Jeff Dwoskin uses ChatGPT to enhance his podcast production. All that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
There he is, coming to a television screen, possibly at some point in future on a show I may or may not be on that starts this week. Who knows? That is a joke, because my new series does start this week on Bloomberg. So you should all go and watch it.
Yeah.
More on that at a separate date. Look at my Twitter, please, and you will see a trailer. It's rather good. In fact, it's brilliant. You should watch it. Go and watch it now. Ian,
yes,
anything else
I've
you'd like to
it.
Say? It was good, wasn't it?
Yes, I enjoyed it. It's very entertaining.
It was.
It'll be an interesting show. I can't wait.
Okay. I think that's as much.
But I won't have long to wait by the sound of things.
No, not long at all. I can't remember if I mentioned that I was making a series about AI.
No, but, never once.
But I have/am, and it is out later this week. Look at my Twitter. That's enough plugging and promo. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please leave us a review somewhere if you'd like. Write it on the back of a toilet door. Write it on Apple Podcasts. The choice is yours.
We do not endorse graffiti, just to be clear.
No.
Or speeding.
No, neither of those things. Ian, I have pressed outro. Go.
Thanks very much for pressing outro. I can't hear it. Oh, it's there. There it is. It's building. It's over.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.